Emerald ash borer.
I'll take the opportunity to introduce Travis Hyland here. He's another new face to our planning section here. Travis is, while he's new to the peer office, he's not new to the department. He's been a park manager and been out in field operations for a good long time, probably 15 years or so, and has worked in many parks, a lot of them in the southeast, with North Point, Snake Creek. Spent some time here in Pier working at Hawaii Downstream and the Farm Island districts here. And then most recently, he was the district park supervisor at Palisades State Park by Garrettson. So Travis joined our team here a few months ago, and today we thought it would be a good opportunity to give the commission an update on the emerald ash borer infestation here in South Dakota and what our state park staff are out there doing this winter and in the future to help prepare for its spread throughout South Dakota.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Commissioners, Secretary Hepler. Appreciate the opportunity today to inform you about what we are doing with state parks to essentially prepare and move ahead with the insect and the ash trees that will become affected. Everybody here is probably well aware of what took place this spring in Minnehaha County and the quarantine that resulted from that. The insect itself is very slow moving. People essentially will speed that process up. And as you can see, quarantines in other states, some were probably more effective than others. I won't generally say what's the better way to do it. Minnesota seemed to have a pretty good plan. It never really spread that fast throughout the state. It spread pretty quickly through Iowa, with South Dakota utilizing the quarantine that we have. We're hopefully be able to slow that down enough to provide opportunities that we can present plans and carry through a plan and a process, so we can mitigate how quickly we have to remove the ash trees that we do have. Parks in general have a lot of ash trees, just like a lot of other places throughout the state, and they provide some great benefit. And to have to lose them all at one time would be very dramatic. So our efforts beginning this summer and through this winter were to come up with plans where we could essentially start a process of slow removal of ash trees in order to inject other more diverse species amongst them. So when it's probably not an if, where and when it does happen, we won't get caught flat-footed. The process that we're in now got kick-started obviously by what happened this spring, but I will say that we weren't waiting around until that happened. Since the early 2000s, we stopped the planting of ash trees. From about the mid-2000s, we really started to focus on the diversity of tree species that we had and where they were going and how we were going to be utilizing our annual tree plantings in the future in response to essentially the emerald ash borer, and knowing that we were probably going to get it eventually. Not knowing where or when was difficult to come up with a real hard set plan at that point, because obviously things change depending on where in the state it occurs and how big it is at that moment. Luckily, it was in the early stages where it was found, and it allowed us quite a bit of time to prepare and keep it slowed. The plan itself focused on five items, one being time. We have the time currently, and the quarantine will hopefully pay dividends for us in that understanding our inventory, knowing what we have out there for ash trees within the parks, diversifying that inventory with other tree species, moving forward with removal and replacement of ash trees, and then the action that we take for that. As far as the time goes, we worked very closely with the South Dakota Department of Ag regarding the quarantine and mitigation for Emerald Ash Borer. That was, I think, key for how we started this process. Education with the public was a large part of that. It was very abrupt. It happened at a time of the year where people were gearing up for camping. And with that comes the firewood they might be bringing. So the news that we had wasn't exactly the greatest time of the year. It would have been better for maybe the fall, so people would have time to prepare. So it was kind of shocking. Our focus was largely on how can humans prevent spreading this insect. It's certainly not going to spread as far on its own as quickly, so we're a large contributor of that. But through campaigns that we had via social media, electronic contacts, and direct contacts with folks, I think overall it was very positive. For the most part, people were very receptive to what we were trying to do. Everybody understood the impacts and what it really meant, and it was largely working with them, understanding different ways people chose to use firewood, what they prepared, and what they had, what they were planning to do. And so through the process, we changed a few times with certain products that we were essentially going to prohibit or allow to come into the park properties to essentially slow down the inevitable. And that, along with that, came a rule that we could use if necessary, and I'm not aware that really ever became necessary. I think largely successful with the education campaign and working with folks one-on-one as necessary. The inventory portion of this was probably the most important and first step in understanding what we really had. In 2010, an inventory was conducted in state park properties to identify how many ash trees we had versus comparable to the rest of the trees we had in the parks. And having that information was fantastic at this point in the game, because then we were able to go out and conduct another assessment, not only to essentially proofread what was done in 2010, but to allow us to see how far have we progressed in the last 8 years, knowing that this was probably going to happen. So we reassessed what we had in the parks, not only for the ash we had, but for the other species that we had been planting over the last several years. And the 2018 inventory was basically used at this point to where we are plotting that into geographic information systems, so we are able to see an aerial and zero in on parks and be able to show geographically where all of these ash trees are located within the park, and also certain other tree species that might become valuable for us. I was directly involved with the project, I guess we could call it a pilot, at Palisades State Park before I transferred here to Pierre. So through the summer and into the fall, September-ish time frame, I was able to be involved with that project to develop it as a statewide effort. And I'm going to go into some of that here today with the slides. This may not mean anything here, but it was important to note from our 2018 numbers really what we were dealing with. And this is just a brief synopsis of what we found. And comparing it back to the 2010 inventory, we discovered that we've made some progress. We've pulled out some ash trees. We've injected new species. But it probably wasn't as dramatic as what needed to be done in order, now that we know where the insect is and what we can expect from it. But we are able to use this inventory to then create a plan of removal and replacement. Just an example of the different tree species that we did find within Palisades State Park. It's probably difficult to see, but it was a good representation of what we were hoping to see, that we made some good decisions on some different species. They're intermixed amongst the ash trees, in hopes that when removal does have to start, we are not going to see such a dramatic effect of those loss of trees. An example of what we were working on from about the mid-2000s to date, the smaller trees within this slide are different species of tree. The larger trees are largely all ash tree. So as you can see, once those are gone, we are hopefully going to have the next round of trees to replace them. If we can keep this slow and remove a few trees every year from areas like this and replant with others, we are going to have that succession of tree to where we're hopeful that park users won't be, it won't be such a heavy impact on the park itself or the use of that park. And another example of smaller tree species being interjected within the ash trees that are probably 25 years old to 30 years old at this point. And these are both from Palisades State Park. This is what I was mentioning earlier with the using geographic information systems to plot the ash trees that are out there in the parks. The slide is not showing the red dots very well. There's two colors of dots on this slide. The green dots being ash trees that are currently standing and in place, and there's red dots intermixed right now showing ash trees that have been removed. So we have the ability to go in once an ash tree is removed. We change the status of it. It changes color, and it gives us a good reference that we can follow and understand where we need to focus our efforts and how we can spread it out within the park so we don't have a clear cutting occurring as we move across the park. And part of our action and follow through involved the impact to a budget. How can we sustain what we need to do prior to when we have the bug show up? It's important to note that I think it's manageable cost-wise to go through a process like we're doing now with the slow removal and replacement versus if you wait, and the experts will tell you this, if you wait till the insect is here and you have trees that are starting to die from it, the removal process grows for cost exponentially. At times you have to hire in outside contractors to come in and remove a lot of trees at one time. Those trees become more dangerous for removal at that point. So it's important to note that removing a healthy ash tree doesn't always seem like the right idea, but we have to get to a point to where we know when the insect does arrive, we aren't going to have hundreds or a thousand ash trees to take out within a five-year period. And if we can work at it slowly, we can absorb those costs potentially within our standard operating budget. These are numbers I came up with for an average for what we might expect to see coming out of an annual removal project. At Palisades, they're looking at a five-year plan potentially to remove a majority of those ash trees and then inject those areas with other species. It's an average. Obviously, the trees are going to range from a 6-inch tree to a 2.5-foot diameter tree. So those numbers are going to fluctuate. Some of these are round numbers just to make that process a little easier to understand. But the cost we have laid out here, I felt when I was there, was very manageable for what we would normally spend on tree removal regardless. And some of those costs were already occurring. In the past, we might take out an ash tree just because it was damaged and we weren't going to try to save that tree anymore. And now we're looking at areas of dense concentrations and deciding which trees can we pull out that aren't going to affect the use of that location for the next couple of years, and then we can inject other species. The idea is to continue this process through until we get to a point to where we're going to probably have some ash trees left, but we will cease removing them and will utilize their benefit as long as possible, but yet know that if the insect arrives, we probably have a couple of years then to finish the job before we have to take out trees that might be dying from it. And taking that process through, We are statewide now with creating these management plans, using Palisades State Park as a model, and other parks throughout the state now have developed plans, working on developing plans that they can follow. Those plans will vary greatly from location to location based upon the numbers of ash trees that they have, other constraints, how they operate, the numbers of staff, equipment that they have. So they have to make this work for them. And the farther away, hopefully, we get from these locations to where it's at now buys us that much more time. This fall, this winter, I took an estimate that we have already removed around 550 ash trees from parks. And next year, with the plans that we have in place, we're looking at probably 900 plus from parks. And that's a very small piece of the pie. It may seem like a lot, but when we really spread it out, it's really not that big of a deal. We do have some parks with high concentrations of ash trees. Those have been recognized long ago. So that's where a large number of this comes from. But other locations might only be taking out a dozen trees a year versus 100. And it's just all representative of what they really have in place right now. And I wanted to show this slide, but I'm a little disappointed the red dots aren't showing up. Snake Creek Recreation Area by Place, South Dakota. You can see all the green. It looks like a high concentration of ash, but there's a lot of trees in general there in that northern campground. I brought this slide up because it showed a great representation of how they were progressing through the park with removal of ash trees. The red dots were very intermixed amongst the green, and I'll just describe it for you because we can't really see it. But it was great to see how they spread the removal out to where it should not impact use whatsoever. And I believe that people probably won't even notice anything that a tree is gone through this process. And if we can get other species in there immediately, it'll only help that effort. And that's it. And any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Questions, comments?
Good.
Commissioner Olson.
Thank you. Do you find that, like, for the general population, that it's just cost prohibitive to do the medicating or any injections or anything like that that's outside of our control?
Mr. Chair, Commissioner Olson, yes, that was discussed. As with other communities within the state, there is a high cost there, and it's a continued cost. And with the trees that we have in place, and without some kind of dedicated funding from outside, it would be difficult to treat trees and continue to treat trees. I'm not saying that we might not. Maybe there's some trees that we feel are key, and there's some benefit to treating those trees. If we knew that once the tree was treated and this insect had run its course through that area, that we wouldn't have to treat any longer, I think there'd be some benefit there. But from what we understand from the experts, even after the majority of the ash trees in the area have died from the insect and it's largely over with, it's never really over, and so you're never finished with that process of treating trees. And so we've taken this approach to removal and replacement versus that continued effort of putting money into treating those.
Any others? Commissioner Jensen.
Mr. Chair. Are you replacing them with any predominant breed of tree, or do you just make quite a varied selection of trees that you use to replace?
Mr. Chair, Commissioner Jensen, we are trying to be as diverse as possible. Sometimes we are limited with area. There's just certain parts of the state that just don't grow trees that well. We have limited selection in those areas. But we do have some selection. Sometimes they're native species. Sometimes there's other species that will do well. So I would say diversity is key. Some people say look at your neighbor and see what they have for trees and then plant something different. Sometimes you can't do that. So we have, and we're working with our vendors, nurseries that that supply us with trees, working on finding trees that may be the least susceptible to disease and insects as much as possible while still trying to maintain some of that native selection that are already occurring in the state. So loading up on a particular type of tree is highly discouraged, has been for quite a while. Obviously, we're in a situation with ash because that wasn't the case at some point in time with a lot of areas of the state. But now we've come to the point to where having that selection, even if it's not a popular tree or it's not a great tree, a diverse selection is still important.
Yeah, this is kind of funny, but it's not. 40 years ago, I planted a lot of tree belts. Put a lot of elm trees in there. We all know what happened to the elm trees, and I kind of replaced them with ash trees. Now the ash trees are... Now I'm going to evergreens like pines and cedars, so the next trend, whatever that
is. Any other questions, comments? Thank you. Good report.
Thank
Good
you.
Approach. We're off to Palisades.